The Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 11. And tonight I want to look at verses 1 through 13 of Luke, chapter 11. So chapter 11 and beginning in verse 1. And before we hear God's word, let's pray together once again. O heavenly King, O Comforter, the Spirit of truth, who are in all places and fills all things, come and abide in us and cleanse us from every stain and save our souls, O gracious Lord. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. Luke chapter 11 and beginning of verse 1. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation. And he said to them, which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, do not bother me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This is the word of God. Now, throughout his ministry, our Lord Jesus had much to say about prayer. Luke uses the request, Lord, teach us to pray, which was put to Jesus by one of his disciples as an occasion for bringing together some of the sayings of Jesus about prayer. The first saying known to us as the Lord's Prayer is the best known. The Lord's Prayer is a prayer that teaches us how to pray, and we should use it in our daily prayers. If the Lord's Prayer were the only prayer we knew, it would be enough. It is a short prayer, but it covers all the essentials. The third saying about prayer in this chapter is also well known, and to me, it is the easiest one to remember. To remember it, all you need to do is remember the word ask, A-S-K, ask, seek, knock. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Now, this saying emphasizes the power of prayer, the ability of prayer to produce results, its effectiveness. Prayer is powerful. It works. It is not unproductive or futile or vain. And it is never a waste of time. It is always effective. It is important to note here, however, that the effectiveness of prayer is not always what we expect it to be. We sometimes fail to see the power of prayer because of our wrong expectations. Now, many years ago, I heard a story that illustrates this point quite well. A young man once complained to his father that his prayers were unproductive. He prayed all the time, but nothing ever happened. And in reply, his father picked up a dirty basket, handed it to the young man, and sent him outside to a well to bring in some water. And the young man obeyed, but when he came inside, there was no water in the basket. It all leaked out. So the father sent him out again, and then a third time, but the result was always the same. The basket simply would not hold water. And finally, the father said to him, you might think that this activity is unproductive, but look at the basket. When you started, it was dirty, and now it's clean. We sometimes fail to see the effectiveness of prayer because of our wrong expectations. Jesus said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you." We may not always get what we ask for. We may not always find what we are seeking. But what we do get and what we do find are even better. The door that God opens for us is always better than the one at which we are knocking. The fourth saying of Jesus about prayer in this chapter highlights this particular point. Since our Heavenly Father is good, He will never give us anything harmful, but only what is good and beneficial to us. Jesus says in verse 11, "What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father, who is not evil but altogether good, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" Now, this saying emphasizes the goodness of God. Since God is altogether good, He doesn't give us things that are harmful to us, even though they may be what we desire, but rather He gives us things that are good for us. And therefore, we can trust that His answers to our prayers are always benevolent and beneficial. Now, the second saying of Jesus about prayer in this chapter needs some explanation so that we don't miss the point. Jesus says in verse 5, "Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer him from within, 'Don't bother me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs." Now, the point of this saying is not that if we pester God long enough, he will finally give in and give us what we want. Nor is the point that God is somehow bothered by our prayers, or that he is reluctant to answer our prayers, and we must overcome his reluctance by continually hounding him. It is impossible to bother or disturb or annoy God by our prayers. God cannot be perturbed. I'm pretty sure that is in the Westminster Confession somewhere. At least it should be. Now, the point of this saying is that we must be persistent in prayer, incessant, unremitting. In other words, we must pray without ceasing. Now, it is remarkable how many times the Bible tells us to pray always, at all times, night and day, without pause, without interruption. Now, let me mention just a few places where we find this directive in the New Testament. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Paul says, "Pray without ceasing." Romans 12:12, "Be constant in prayer," or continue in prayer. Colossians 4:2, "Continue steadfastly in prayer." And Ephesians 6:18, "Pray at all times." Now, Christ teaches us to be persistent in prayer by using the analogy of a man going to his friend's house in the middle of the night and asking him for bread. Jesus said, "Even if he will not rise and give it to him because he is his friend, still on account of his persistence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs." So you must be persistent in prayer. You must continue steadfastly in prayer, or pray without ceasing, as Paul puts it. Now, just a few chapters later in the book of Luke, Jesus tells another parable that makes the same point. And this parable is known as the parable of the persistent widow. And this is Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 1. "And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, 'In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, "Give me justice against my adversary." For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, 'Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming.' And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says, and will not God give justice to his elect, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? Now, the point of this parable is identical to the saying in chapter 11, namely that we must be persistent in our prayer, persevere in prayer, pray without ceasing. Luke summarizes the point of this parable in verse 1. Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. So the point here is that we must pray always without ceasing and not lose heart. That is, not become discouraged and therefore give up. Now, one question we need to answer is, how is it possible to pray without ceasing? How is it possible to do this, to pray always, at all times, continually, without pause, without interruption, without ceasing? Well, one thing to remember here is that prayer does not always have to be vocal. We can pray silently in the heart without using any words. And another thing to remember here is that prayer is not always asking for things. Sometimes we do ask for things in prayer, but that's not the only kind of prayer or the only way to pray. And here I am reminded of another story that might illustrate this particular point. There was an old man who spent several hours in church every day, and his friends said to him, "What are you doing there all the time?" And he said, "I'm praying." Well, they replied, "As much time as you spend there, you must have a great many things to ask God for." "I'm not asking God for anything," he said. "Well, then, what exactly is it that you do there?" And the old man said, "I sit and look at God, and he sits and looks at me, and we enjoy each other's company." Prayer is not always asking God for something. It is directing your mind toward God. It's directing your heart toward God. And I think that's the best way to define prayer. Prayer is the movement of the heart toward God. Prayer is, as Scripture puts it, drawing near to God. That's what prayer is. It is drawing near to God. Our minds should be directed toward God, and our hearts should be moving toward God always, at all times, day and night, continually, without ceasing. And if our hearts are not moving toward God, then they are moving away from Him. The heart is never static. It is never standing still. It is always moving. And it is either moving toward God or away from God. And prayer is simply that. It is the movement of the heart toward God. It is drawing near to God, drawing near to Him in love, and we have to do that without ceasing. Ceaseless prayer is, in fact, the natural state of the heart of man as created in the image of God. When God created man in the beginning, He created him in His image and after His likeness, which, among other things, means that man was created in a religious fellowship with God. Man's heart, as originally created, was moving toward God ceaselessly, without ceasing, without interruption. And it is also the natural state of the renewed heart in the redeemed. The redeemed are recreated in the image and likeness of God. And so it is the natural heart of the believer. It is the natural state of the heart of the believer to move toward God ceaselessly. Prayer, to put it in other words, should be as natural to us as breathing, and it should be just as constant. Prayer is the life breath of the soul. It is the breath of life of the Spirit of God within us that moves our heart toward God. We can pray without ceasing because the Holy Spirit of God dwells in us without ceasing. And the Spirit who indwells us intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words, as Paul says in Romans chapter 8. Ceaseless prayer is the fruit of the Spirit. And that's why Paul says in Ephesians 6:18 that we are to pray, quote, at all times in the Spirit. We pray in the Spirit because the Spirit dwells in us and prays in us. And so, beloved, this evening we have learned from the Scriptures that our Lord Jesus Christ teaches us to pray. and that He also gives us the Holy Spirit who enables us to pray and to be persistent in prayer, to pray without ceasing.